Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated October 11, 2019. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekel and is a weekly podcast bringing you the latest developments and news from the MMO Shroud of the Avatar. This amazing and absorbing game is free to play and can be downloaded at shroudoftheavatar.com. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, hi everybody. It is another week in the game, and a lot has been happening this week. There is a lot to talk about. My goodness. Okay, a bit of a surprising development in the game. We will get on with that shortly. But look, first, I've been back in the game this week. Great to be back. It's lovely to go away on holidays and catch up with family and all that sort of jazz, but it is nice to be back in the game. Got back into it, reactivated my little character, and rushed around. And yes, archery is still nerfed compared to what it was. I'm not as strong as I was before, but I can still kill things. And I'm still getting there gradually, so it's not too bad. I even added aimed shot to my repertoire this evening, and yeah, I'm doing a bit of damage with that, so maybe that's what the devs are wanting to encourage people to get away from, the charged shot that doesn't use any focus at all, although it's great fun. And it's nice to have a bit of focus up in your back pocket for when people start attacking you. But, they've evidently made some of the other skills a bit more useful. And, alright, if that's the way we have to go, well, that's the way we have to go. Fine. Thank you very much. I really appreciate change. I love it so much. Okay, alright, enough ranting. We have another update. It is number 353. The live stream from Shroud Convention today and new spooky vault items. Okay. Alright, first item on the news is the Shroud Convention live stream. Now, the Shroud of the Avatar Convention is now on. It is happening. And guess what? I'm not there. As are a lot of us not there. I hope a lot of us are there, and I hope whoever's there is having a fabulous time and getting together with fellow Shroudies and with the development team and all that. Please take lots of pictures and let us know how it goes. But there will be another weekly community live stream, as they do every week, Friday, October 11. By the time you hear this, it will have long gone, but that's okay. And they are broadcasting live from the SOTA International Convention. You will hear lots and lots of stuff about the convention and about what they're talking about, so don't fail to tune in to it. If you're able to watch it directly, that's fantastic. If you can't, if you're working, if you're sleeping, or whatever, or travelling, you can tune into it later. It'll be on YouTube, as always. Right, the next item on the program is the Release 70 Rewards Program items. As you no doubt know, for each release, people who are in the Rewards Program will receive some exclusive items as soon as they log in to Release 70. Okay, and the items for this release are an Obsidian Order Altar, yeah, just what you've always wanted, an Executioner's Mask, perfect for wearing to that ball or fancy dinner, and a baby black and orange spider pet. How lovely. Okay. And if you're afraid of spiders, well, I'm sorry, that's too bad. I think this one is not going to hurt you, which is good. Okay, so that's what they'll be doing. All right, the next item is the Crown Shop updates. October 11, Crown Shop updates. Now, they say, don't forget, spooky seasonal recurring items are back for a limited time until November the 8th. Obviously, it's getting close to Halloween, and we've got spooky stuff back. So they're continuing the spooky theme for the vault. They got another round of expired spooky items and live stream spooky items. Now, lovely. And the recurring items, well, as they say, with Halloween coming up, they've brought back all of the spooky seasonal recurring items to the Crown Shop for a limited time. So, if you saw some spooky items in the game previously, last year, year before, whatever, and you always thought, I'd really like one of those, okay, this is your opportunity. They're back in the Crown Shop. They won't be there forever, so get them now while you have the chance. Now, what items are we talking about? Well, here they are. We have undead specimen vats. Just the thing for a mad scientist to have. If you want to go in for being an alchemist and a bit of a mad scientist, this is the ideal accessory to your home, of course. There's a giant lich statue with a magic portal dungeon entrance. A giant grim reaper statue with the magic portal dungeon entrance, and an ornate giant grim reaper statue with the magic portal dungeon entrance. There's an ornate scythe and pattern pack, a dead tree with a spider web six pack. So you can have dead trees scattered all around your house. That's fantastic. I mean, I can do that too. I can just put trees in and not water them, and then they become dead. But these ones are dead to start with, so it saves you the trouble of not watering them. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Okay, the Day of the Dead masks, spooky emotes. You can breathe spiders, you can rain spiders, you can puke blood, etc. Oh, how lovely. There's a woven spiderweb cloak, an ordinary spiderweb cloak, spider legs, and zombie pets. Perfect. Just in time for Halloween. Fantastic. And of course, there's the vault. As you know, there have been items in the past that were either reward items, heritage items, stretch goals for telethons that weren't quite met. They were sort of bundled away and locked up in storage. Okay, every couple of weeks or so, they bring out a selection of them, put them in the Crown Shop for a bit of a premium price, and they're available for a couple of weeks. If you like them, grab them. If you don't, they're going to go away again. So, currently in the vault, they will be there until October the 24th at 10:30 a.m. So, grab them before they go. And after that time, well, as I say, they're shunted back into the depths of wherever they came from, and another lot are going to come out. So, what have we got to look at? Well, there's the 2016 Rotten Armour. If you wanted to walk around town looking thoroughly disreputable and dishevelled, you can get a set of Rotten Armour, or a 2016 Rotten Flesh coat. You can look like one of the undead as well, or one of the zombies. A digital ghost dog, or ghost cat, or ghost raven. There's a juggle skulls emote, zombie wings, a zombie mask, and an obsidian village home. And there's a few nice pictures in the news release here. So, yeah, they look pretty good. Ghost dog is pretty interesting. He's quite attractive, although you can see right through him. So, there you go. All right, a big news item coming up. Catnip Games acquires Shroud of the Avatar. This is the horrifying news item. Shroud of the Avatar has been sold. Oh my God, everybody says. All right, before you all fall down and start having nervy turns, let me assure you, it's not bad news. It's actually fine. And they go on to elaborate that As of October 2019, the Austin-based production studio Catnip Games has acquired the operating assets of Port Illyrium Incorporated, the primary of which is Shroud of the Avatar. Now, Port Illyrium was co-founded in 2009 by the Hall of Fame video game designer Richard Garriott, aka Lord British. Port Illyrium's most recent game, Shroud of the Avatar, has a large global community of players, which Catnip Games will continue to develop and expand. Catnip Games was established by Chris Spears, who served as Chief Technical Officer of Port Illyrium for over 6 years and was appointed President of Port Illyrium in 2019. Commenting about the acquisition, Richard Garriott noted, "We are immensely grateful to the community who has built the game with us. The community's support and participation remains strong and growing, and Star and I plan to continue being involved in the community and within the game." Star Long, the executive producer of Shroud of the Avatar, also commented on the acquisitions, noting that Chris has successfully led the design and the team for many years. He is an all-star A player. Chris Spears added that the development team remains with the project and we plan to continue with the established patterns of regular releases, frequent live broadcasts, community events, release parties, and a development cadence focused on both constantly improving the core game while also working towards episode 2. And just a footnote, Lowenstein Sandler provided legal counsel to Port Illyrium on this transaction. Deal terms were not disclosed. Any questions about the transaction should be directed to VLPC at tbailey@vlpc.com. Right, that's a lot of mumbo jumbo. What does it mean? Basically, I mean, the important question is, what does it mean for the game? And what does it mean for us players? Well, Chris did a live stream about it, and I did watch that, digested it all, and I've come to the conclusion that it looks like basically a good thing. And he put forth a number of reasons, which I'll try to summarise for you here, just to reassure you that everything is in hand, it's proceeding along, and we're not in any danger. Now, I think it's no surprise to anybody that this game, this particular game, has not taken off and hit the stratosphere. It hasn't been a blockbuster right out of the blocks. It's not achieving hundreds of thousands of sales. Okay, for what it's worth, I never thought it would. It is not the kind of game that today's immediate gratification wanting, short attention span young people probably want. They want something very fast, very rapid. You can get on, rush around, kill 150 people, complete a mission in 10 or 15 minutes and get a medal. That's what they want, and that's what's selling big time. Okay, this is not that kind of game. Never was, never will be, never tried to be. It is more a game where you can live a lifestyle. Yeah, and yes, there's lots of combat in it, but if you tell people it'll take them 8 hours or 12 hours of solid grinding to complete a quest, or it might take you hundreds of hours to get to be a really, really powerful character, they'll sort of think, no, not for me, thank you very much. This is part of the reason why some players have left. It's just not their kind of scene. Okay, and I predicted right from the start that it was going to be a slow starting game. But I think it is an awesome game. People are joining it all the time. People are loving it. And once you get into it, there is so much depth and so much that you can do that it sort of sucks you in. and you really start to appreciate the depth and the intensity and the complexity of it. So yes, give it a chance, and it's great, but a lot of people don't have the patience to do that. So yes, it's been a slow starter. I think it will continue to survive and continue to slowly gain traction. They do have plans to increase the exposure and to encourage more people in. Chris was talking about cross-promotion with other companies. I think the deal means that, you know, we promote their games, they promote ours, that sort of thing. All very good. So that's fine. But the sense that I got from what Chris was saying is they probably had bigger ideas when the game first started, and they set up a company. Companies have to have structure, they have to have rules, they have to have regulations, and there is a way that you set companies up. And if you're dealing with a large institution, a big company is going to have all sorts of roles, like a chief executive officer, a chief financial officer, you've got legal counsel, you've got all this sort of stuff. You must have all these defined roles, all of which have to be registered, all of which have to report, and you file tax filings pretty often. The bottom line is, that costs you a packet. It really does. And they've found themselves in a situation where, okay, the game's not blowing out of the blocks, but it's surviving. It's fine. The development team has reduced to a pretty small size, it has to be said. And huge, unwieldy, very expensive company structure that is probably 10 times as big as they need and at least 10 times as expensive. A lot of the money that backers, supporters, contributors have been sending in is going on operating expenses. And it got to the point where they thought, this is ridiculous. It doesn't need to happen. We can do it much better. If we go about it in another way, we can reduce our operating costs incredibly and focus on what we're supposed to be doing here, after all, which is building the game and getting a great game out and getting a good product to give to our supporters. Okay, so Chris Spears has established a little company. It's called Catnip Games. From the way they talk about it, it sounds like a very small corporation or company, whatever. And as such, it would have much fewer legal requirements, much fewer regulatory requirements. As he said in the live stream, they also used to have a contract with a payroll company to obviously pay their wages. And the payroll company was charging them for that. Quite a lot, by the sound of it. Okay. If you have 1,000 employees, it's worth doing that. Because, hey, who wants to be responsible for paying 1,000 employees every fortnight? If it's down to 30 or so, why would you pay the same amount of money for somebody else to come in and write checks to your 30 employees? You can do it yourself. And that saves a packet. Okay. Short story, that's what they're doing. Chris Spears founded this small company called Catnip Games, which, in a legal sense, bought Portalerium. And therefore, they own Shroud of the Avatar now. So, what else has changed? Nothing. Same team. They're going to continue on doing exactly what they were doing. Chris is still there. Star is still there. All the development team is still there. Lord British is still there. As Chris said in the live stream, Lord British hasn't been taking a salary from the game at all, ever. So he's going to draw the same salary that he was before, like nothing. But he'll still be involved and still be playing and still be advising and guiding development. So essentially nothing has changed. The only thing that effectively has changed is their operating expenses went way down, which means they got more money to put into development and promotion. And if they wanted to partner up with other companies, as he was saying, for cross-promotion, okay, you promote my game in your area amongst your gamers, we'll promote your game amongst our area, that's fine. That sort of thing. Nobody's being taken over. Nobody's controlling anybody else. It's just friendly cooperation. Then you reach a wider audience and you'll get more people in. They'll get more people in. We'll get more people in. It's a win-win situation. So yes, it is big news in the sense that something fairly major happened. The physical legal structure at the top of the company is different, but in another sense nothing happened, because if they hadn't told us about it, we wouldn't notice. Everything is going to continue exactly the way it was. Okay, so that was the major news item of the week, and yeah, it's a bit exciting, but once we've sort of digested that, I'm sure it's going to be fine, and we will continue on as if nothing happened. The next item in the newsletter is the Sword of Midras printed copy reward replacement. Okay, as they say in the letter here, to all our loyal Shroud of the Avatar backers, there's only one physical reward from the Kickstarter. That's the people who jumped in the very earliest days of this project when it was a Kickstarter project. There's only one physical reward that's still outstanding to deliver. That is a physical copy of the novel written by Tracy Hickman and Richard Garriott entitled The Sword of Midras. It was originally titled Blade of the Avatar. Now, digital copies were delivered as promised. We all got a digital copy. But, unfortunately, we could never reach an agreement with the publisher on distribution of a physical copy to our backers. Okay, sometimes when you're trying to get something done and you're talking to somebody else who's really got no skin in the game, they've got no vested interest in this. They're interested in making money off their sales. You tell them, can you print X number of books for us, and we're going to give them away free to our backers. And it sounds like basically they got the inverted middle finger. Didn't happen. Couldn't make it happen. So all I can say is please accept our apologies for our failure to deliver the reward and the extreme delay in an outcome. Okay, they said, look, we tried hard. We just couldn't get it happening. The printers wouldn't play ball. Very sorry. But it's not all bad news, however. We've come up with a unique book-themed replacement rewards. Now, Kickstarter backers at the patron level, they were eligible for a physical copy of the book. They will receive instead a unique in-game reward of a challenge dungeon, remote dungeon entrance. So what this is, if you wanted to hop into the challenge dungeon, well, you have to sort of walk across the map to get there, don't you? But no, not anymore. You get a remote dungeon entrance. It allows direct access to the challenge dungeon from the property it's placed on. You put it on your property, you want to go to the challenge dungeon, bang, there you go, you're in. The entrance itself is actually disguised as a magical book with the Blade of the Avatar symbol on the cover. So, okay, that's a pretty good compromise, I guess. They've done the best they can. It looks as if you've got a book, you put it on your property, and click on the book. Magic! You're in the challenge dungeon. Good. Now, the Kickstarter backers at the citizen level and higher were eligible for a physical copy of the book signed by Richard and Tracy. They will instead receive two unique in-game rewards. The Sword of Midras Library is a unique, huge dungeon room. It's filled floor-to-ceiling with books, similar to the Lyceum in Artifice. It can be placed in any player-made dungeon. If you've got a dungeon, you can put this in it. And, hey, it just looks like a library. Books all around the walls. Fantastic. Okay, the Sword of Midras Magical Printing Press allows you to create 12 book copies a week without needing any blank books. So that's awesome. Each of these copies automatically comes in a book bound with a Blade of the Avatar symbol book cover. So you can make 12 books a week. You don't need a blank, and it's got a beautiful symbol on the front. Great, great compromise. Okay, we hope to have these items complete and delivered on later than the end of the year. I wonder if they mean no later. Yeah, I think that's a typo. I think they're hoping to have it no later than the end of the year. Let's hope so. All right. Citizens will also receive the patron reward of the Challenge Dungeon Remote Entrance for a total of 3 unique rewards. Very nice. And they have pictures here in the newsletter about the original Magic Printing Press and the Lyceum in Artifice. So that will be used as a reference for what they're going to give us. Very nice. All right, the next item is the October Login Reward. This is what they've been introducing for the last few releases, to just give people a reward for logging into the game, enticing people to come back to see how cool it is now and how much it's great and grown and improved. And so all you have to do is log into the game once during the release month and you get a nice reward. Okay, and to, of course, surprise, surprise, to celebrate Halloween, every player who logs in during October will receive a skull mask. Yes, it looks grisly. And yes, you probably won't be able to pick up girls when you're wearing it, because yeah, it looks a bit horrible. But there it is. If you're into it, if you like it, if you want to frighten people, that's the ideal thing. You get a unique skull mask. So that's all you have to do. Just check into the game and have a look in your rewards tab. It'll be there. Very nice. Okay, now amplifying on the rewards program, which we sort of mentioned earlier with these special items that you get, a great way to support the game. We talk about it every week, but in case anybody hasn't heard about it yet, here it is. As you know, this game's crowdfunded. There is no game studio underwriting this. That's bad because, yeah, we sort of have to help fund the development. It's good because you don't have a big game studio breathing down your neck saying you will do it this way. And we promised that this game would be released before Christmas. Therefore, you're going to release it before Christmas, and we couldn't care less if it's half finished or if it's riddled with bugs or if it's basically unplayable, because that's what we're telling you to do. Okay. They deliberately chose to go the crowdfunded way so that basically they could do it properly. And, well, they are doing it properly. They are responding to the community. This game is being developed by the devs and the community. They listen to our feedback and they say, right, let's go this way. And the game is growing according to how we want it and they want it. Sometimes it's an uneasy compromise because, well, as the fracas in the forum has been lately, Chris has had to do a bit of a balance pass on a lot of things, decided that some things were overpowered and some things were just ridiculous. So we brought things back a bit, and everybody's weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth and hating it so much. Yeah, true, but in one sense it has to be done. If things were at the ridiculous point, yeah, they probably shouldn't have got there in the first place, but when you realise it, then you get to bring them back and balance it up and try and make the game even for all classes of characters. Chris did say during the live stream, and this is one thing I admire him for and the rest of the devs, he said yes, he realises that one or two of the aspects of archery were a little bit overdone, and the pendulum went a little bit too far the other way, so there will be a small improvement coming out in the next patch. I love it because they're honest and upfront enough to say, okay, you know, yeah, we thought we had to bring it back, but it's gone too far, so we'll bring it back forward again. In a few weeks or months or a year or two's time, this game is going to be absolutely perfect. We just have to put up with a bumpy ride in the meantime. That's a really long way of saying that we need to support the game's development. Now, one way of doing it is the rewards program, which is really easy and available to everybody, and I'd encourage everyone to do it. It is something you can find in the Crown Shop. Basically, it's a subscription-based model for $9 a month, which isn't much at all. And if you can afford a couple of cups of coffee a month, you can afford this. And what it means is, A, you're supporting the game, and B, you get a whole heap of rewards for it. You get 900 gold crowns, you get 3 exclusive monthly reward items, which we mentioned earlier. They change every month. You get an exclusive title every 3 months, so you can put that above your name when you're walking around the map and people know that you're supporting the game. You can pick any die pack every 6 months, and 3 obsidian potions every month. So there you go. It's well worth it for the rewards alone, and you are supporting the game. So I'd encourage everybody to look into it and get into that. Right, next item, the Lord of the Isle Episode 2 bundles, which we've been talking about for quite a while. As we know, Episode 2 is coming. I hope before the end of the year. That would be really nice. But heaven only knows when it will get here. If you want to get in early, get in on the ground floor and be a big-time supporter of the game. This is your opportunity. They are selling unique and rare bundles. There will only be 24 of them ever sold. So they're going to be pretty rare, and they're going to be pretty prestigious. They would want to be for the price, but if it's for you, this is what you get. You get a Place Anywhere Castle lot deed, which is probably twice as big as a keep. You're going to need a fleet of lawnmowers and gardeners to look after it, but it's huge. If you put it in a player-owned town, it's tax-free forever, or tax-free for a year anywhere else, and it can also go on water. You get a title, a Lord or Lady of the Isle, a unique home, which they have shown us already. It's a castle and it is humongous. I don't know how many rooms it's got, but honestly, you could have 15 extended families there. You'd be fine. And another home as well. You get a basement, wall set, dungeon room, whole pile of crowns, 999 bank slots, 12 prosperity tools, 2 unique in-game items, which will be revealed when they think of them, early access to Episode 2, an Episode 1 box and map signed by the team, a 1-hour one-on-one video conference with Chris for design discussions, a real, genuine silver ring, designed personally by Lord British, and an in-game version of that ring. You get a tour of Lord British's place and dinner and drinks with the team. You do have to get yourself there to either Austin or New York, but hey, having dinner with the team, that'd be awesome. Okay, so yeah, like I say, there's not many of them, with a price tag starting at $6,995. The demand is not going to be huge, but if you are flush, if you've won the lottery, if you've got an inheritance, or if you really, really want to support the game, this is for you. So go for it. Right, next item, there is player-made content and various other live streams. As we've mentioned, all of their streamings go up on YouTube. And if you miss it, it's available there. There's a link to last Friday's live stream, which was all about player-made content, of course. So if you missed it last week, that's where it is. You can access it easily. And even better, if you subscribe to their YouTube channel, you get an email every time a new video goes up, so you'll never miss anything. And if you have the time and the inclination to view them, you will learn a lot. I really appreciated looking at the most recent one, where Chris was explaining all about the company structure and how and why it was changing. It really helps to understand what's going on behind the scenes. As he said, for legal reasons, there's a lot he couldn't talk about, but he did talk about everything he physically could or was allowed to. And like I said, from what he was talking about, it makes absolute sense, and I think they've done a good thing. Okay, well, upcoming events calendar. Yeah, there is a recurring events section in the forum, but, well, coming up, there's the Release 70 dance party soon, and then following on releases all the way through to March next year, they have them listed there. And there will, of course, be other events, dance parties, and stuff coming as the releases roll out. So, community events, next item. As mentioned, the Release 70 dance party. They have a fantastic dance party for each release, and none other than Darkstar himself takes the helm of the radio and spins the discs for the dance party. This release, it's at Blue Rose Island, and it is on October the 19th at between 2 and 4 p.m. New Britannian time. So if you want to come and have a heap of fun and a bit of a dance party get together, see how many avatars we can pack into one scene without crashing the server, and listening to some fantastic music played on the radio, on Virtue Radio, by DJ Darkstar himself. There you go. Join DJ Darkstar on Virtue Radio for the Release 70 dance party in Blue Rose Isle, which is near Exeter. So if you know where Exeter is, you'll be pretty close. And it's hosted by Drake, Adius, Adis, and Wind Silvermoon. Okay. There is a project to support. It's Through the Moongate Part 2 Kickstarter. Now, this is the story of Richard Garriott, Origin Systems Incorporated, and Ultima, from Wing Commander and Ultima 7 to Port Illyrium. So if you've ever wondered about what this was all about, if you didn't have the opportunity to play any of the early Ultimas, if you're wondering where this story all came from, you might be really interested in this. Now, Through the Moongate, it's an ambitious two-volume comprehensive history of the Ultima series and Lord British and Origin Systems at large. Now, part one was successfully kickstarted on October the 16th, 2018, and it covered Richard Garriott's humble beginnings up through Ultima 6. Part 2 covers Ultima 7 to Port Illyrium. And I think it's generally recognised that Ultima 7 was about the greatest and best interactive RPG, certainly at its time, and, well, possibly for all time. It was an outstanding achievement. Loved Ultima 7. Okay, now part 2 is already finished in Italian. It's currently on Kickstarter to raise funds for translation and printing. So, as I said, if you're interested in the history of Lord British and Origin Systems, check it out. There is a link in the newsletter about how you can join the Kickstarter and get behind the project. And also, if you missed on part 1, you said, well, I'd really like part 1 as well to get the full story. Well, at certain pledge levels in this Kickstarter, you'll get a copy of part 1 as well. So there you go. It's all looked after. Right. There is a project to support, which is Crowfall. Right. I have heard of that. We have mentioned it once or twice. And you can be a part of shaping the next great MMO by becoming a Crowfall backer. It is the first and only online throne war game. You can win. You can join intense PvP battles that demand strategy, survival, and a fierce competitive spirit. Reap the spoils of war as an eternal champion. Wow, I think all the PvP addicts might be flocking towards that. You can claim virtual territory on behalf of your guild or faction. You can capture mines, mills, and quarries to secure resources, build castles, and besiege your neighbours. Scavenge artifacts and relics from the dying worlds and install them in your temples to grant blessings to your vassals. Capture lost spirits to do your bidding, or bind them into your weapons to infuse them with sorcerous power. Yeah, I'd say someone's been doing a bit of work on this game. Sounds as if it could be a good one. Okay, check it out. Crowfall. Alright, then there's a link to that in the newsletter as well. Finally, resources, players helping players. Yes, we're coming to the end of the news release. We mention this every week. In the forum, there is a subsection called the New Player Welcome Forum. If you've just joined the game, and if you don't have a clue what you're doing, because yes, it does have a bit of a steep learning curve, and it's a bit different to other games sometimes. The interface might be a bit strange, the combat might be a bit strange. Yeah, once you get used to it, and once you know your way around, it's great. But sometimes it's a little bit hard to get started. Well, the community is there for you. This would be the best gaming community ever, full of people who are helpful, who really, really, really want to help and give you advice. So all you need to do, pop a post in the New Player Welcome Forum, say, hi, I'm here. And firstly, you'll be welcomed. And if you have any questions, just pop them up there as well, and they'll be answered. And people will be delighted to tell you what to do next, how to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. And if you are looking for stuff, if you don't know how to do a quest, likely as not, there'll be a video about it, and you can just watch that. And you say, oh, fantastic, now I know how to do it. And there's written guides, there's a wiki-type website, and there is a community resources page for a complete listing of everything related to or built by the community. So there we are. That is the news of the week. I think you'll agree there's some momentous stuff been happening this week. But it's all good. And the game continues. It's going to continue for a long time. I think it will slowly continue gaining traction. And it's going to end up being pretty awesome. So have fun. Have a great week in the game this week. I hope you do lots. I hope you enjoy yourself. Try not to die too much because it's just frustrating. And we'll catch you next week. I will take us out now. The wonderful background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tickle for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Virtue Radio, chaotic radio in a virtuous world, for carrying this newscast. A great team of people. Don't forget to catch all their DJs as they bring you a wonderful source of entertainment and enjoyment to the Shroud of the Avatar community, no matter which side of the rift you may be on. So this is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.